Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. I think about that. I've been so busy. Oh, good morning, everyone. HardcorePrayerSicon.wordpress.com is my site. Check it out. And waiting for Pastor Michael Miano to log in here, and we'll get the broadcast started. Hope everybody is having a great morning, and you had your spot of tea, and you're drinking a spot of tea, and you're making you a cup of tea. Yes, sir. So sometimes Blog Talk Radio has its issues. I'm going to message Mike, and sometimes it takes, let me hit refresh, let's see if he's here. All right. Have you guys had the opportunity to listen to Don Preston's debate last night against Dr. David Hester? I watched the debate last night, and it was really good on Don's part. And as for David Hester, typical Church of Christ preacher, and what I mean by that is the style that he does. I'm hoping to talk about it with Mike for a few moments when he logs in. All right, 9:05. Okay, he's gonna be calling it at 9:05. Great, I gotta do fill in for the next few minutes here. I'll wait on that. Like I said, it's a great scene and debate. You know, it's great to see two passionate people go one on one. And to present information, as much information as they can, and for us to decide and decipher. I love it. That's why, for example, with Michael Miano, how I came across him was through YouTube, through his debates. So same thing with Don Preston, YouTube with the debates. For example, Don Preston with John Wallace. I interviewed Don Preston last week, and he debated a guy named John Wallace out of Utah through Heart of the Matter program, which is run by Sean McCraney, who I interviewed also last week. What's great is I took the information and studied. It forced me to study. That's the key. It forces you to study. So last night, I was really hoping for Don Preston's opponent, and I say that with respect, by the way. Let's make it a wrestling match. We've got Dangerous Don Preston going against David the Dancer. I done forgot his last name. I need another cup of coffee. Hester. Oh, boy, I need another cup of coffee. And that's what I felt that Pastor Hester did, was just dance around the question. Don, questions about Daniel 12, Daniel 9. Nothing. And, you know, I was really hoping that since Dr. David Hester is a Church of Christ preacher, that he would stick with that chapter and dissect it with Don. Church of Christ preachers are known for that. You give them scripture, they'll sit there all day on that. They'll sit there with you. So, waiting for Mr. Michael Miano to go in. It's just like falling right now. He's probably overdoing. He's probably drinking a little bit of spot of tea, and he realizes that he overdrank and he missed the time. And there's a guy named Daniel, who I'm friends with here on Facebook, and also friends with Pastor Mike Miano. It was just funny watching his story. With Facebook Live, you can go live. And so he was, he had his phone recording the debate through his TV and doing play-by-play commentary. It was funny. I wanted to do like a John Madden because he was doing like drawings and stuff, and oh, it was funny. And doing a play-by-play in between the affirmatives and the little breaks in between the speeches. Oh, that's great. All right, but yeah, round two's tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, David Hester brings it, and you're going to need to when you're going against Don Preston. You're going to have to bring it, and you're going to have to stick with the areas that he's talking about. You just can't shy away and just start preaching the gospel. The problem, the thing about it is, the issue wasn't, or the problem wasn't, the gospel or salvation, but David Hester made it that way. And tonight he needs to stick with the topic, and he needs to address Daniel 12. He needs to address Daniel 9. He needs to address, you know, even bring up Malachi 4, 5, and 6. There's many others, but. So any moment here, Pastor Michael Miano, who is a pastor at Blue Point Bible Church since April 21st of 2013. Are you there, Michael?
How are you, brother? Yes, I am. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing good. I had like 3 cups of coffee, and then one of my good friends from high school realized that I play Xbox 360 and decides, hey, let's just play some Black Ops 2 and kill zombies. And I'm like, oh, we have a little bit of time. So we killed zombies, and then I had to cut it off and get on to this today's program.
Nice.
Pastor, yeah. Sometimes, you know, you just... But I should have more coffee in me, and I'm trying to get, you know, wound for sound here, you know. So Pastor Mike Miano, you're a pastor in New York, and you are a full preterist. And real quickly, we were talking about last night's debate. Did you watch the debate last night?
No, I did not.
With Don Preston. You did not. Okay. So Don Preston and David Hester. Okay. I didn't know if you were because everybody else was, you know, talking about it and comment and things like
that. Yeah, I'm actually going to be watching it later today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's going to be, like I said, there's another round tonight and of course, the replay. But I didn't know if you watched. I was going to get your comments on that briefly, but maybe at another time. But very interesting debate. So you and I seem to have similar backgrounds in regards to eschatology. That is, when you first get saved, you get caught up in the eschatology world, the popular view, the end-time sensationalism, the, you know, everything revolves around America, everything revolves around that doctrine, that dispensation pre-trib futurist doctrine, and the sensationalism that goes around with it. How in the world did you go from the height of sensationalism and be so involved with that to now I'm a preterist? Now, how did it all come about?
Yeah, God is good. Amen. I'll tell you, it's been a journey. One thing I will say is there was one distinction. I came into Christianity as definitely with the sensationalist, but I was post-trib. I had a problem with the rapture. My teacher, actually, a man that led me to Christ in prison, which, again, that's, you know, we could be on a show for about 3 hours telling you a story of what God's done with my life. But, you know, one thing he had led me to believe was that the rapture had been ruptured, according to his understanding. So he led me in a view that we were basically getting ready for the end times. We were going to be the, you know, the ground troops to lead people to the mountains. And, you know, it was going to be amazing. It was, you know, I look now and I'm like, man, I was going down a dangerous road. I'll tell you. So
let me interrupt. So you're saying that you were ready to go through the Great Tribulation, and you had like this, what you would call survivalist mentality.
Those
types that just doom and gloom. Preppers. We're going to go to the apocalypse, brother, and we're going to, you know, it's like a movie. There you go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We were actually working on a movie script. I have a movie script drawn up, and one of the goals is to eventually actually use that movie script to highlight the truth of preterism. I have a friend that we're going to make it as if his futurist view was a dream. He woke up, and we're going to clarify his view, and we have some fun ideas. Again, I'm always thinking of ways to kind of push things forward and help people understand. But for me, what it was is, again, I was really big into evangelism. You would imagine the end is here. You know, I mean, we got to get these people ready. And you called it before about America. You know, America was the focal point. This is the beast. I was telling somebody yesterday, New York City is the place of the beast. It's the place where all commerce happens. And, I mean, you read the book of Revelation, right?
Yeah. So, 17, buddy.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, I was all wrapped up in this. And I used to actually meet with pastors I started going to Bible school. I moved from New York down south, went, attended Gordon Conwell, did that through correspondence, and I would go up every quarter and go to classes on campus in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I, in the middle of doing that, I had my own ministry that I was working with the man that led me to Christ, and my goal was to meet with pastors and challenge their end times views to get them to realize that we need to take this mark of the beast thing serious. Jesus said to flee to the mountains. What are we doing? And I began meeting with a lot of pastors, and I'll never forget one of the first things that got me thinking in the direction of preterism was I met with a Baptist pastor, and his response to my rhetoric about, you know, how we need to get ready, and I have this manual on how we need to smoke meat, and, you know, everything, and
I'm sorry.
His response to that was, sorry, go ahead.
No, that was funny, because what you're saying is exactly like me, man, you know, because I believe that, you know, I did believe in the pre-trib, but I also kind of went back and said, well, maybe pre-wrath a little bit, and that we'll have to probably have to go through some, you know, go through some stuff a little bit. So I was like you, smoke meat, you know, survive in the mountains, and have a group of people. When you say it, I just laugh because that was me, so go ahead.
I'll tell you, Derek, there's a lot more in common between me and you than we may think, because even you bringing up coffee, you know, I'm not human until I drink coffee in the morning. You know, playing video games, our distinction would be I'm a Grand Theft Auto 5 guy. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at. But, definitely, we're a lot in common. So I start meeting with these pastors, and this one pastor asked me, he said, what would you say to a preterist? And I was like, a who? And he said, a preterist, somebody that believes that those things were fulfilled in the past. And I kind of laughed, and I said, well, surely you don't believe that, right? So we don't have to worry about those silly folks. I don't know what that is. I don't care. No, thank you. And that was my response, you know, very humble, a humble Bible student for you, and, you know, not even going to consider it. So then, about a year later, sure enough, I'm in the mall, and I'm walking, and I'm reading this Christian book, something about Christian living, and this guy stops me, and he says, hey, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. He said, oh, I'm a pastor in the area. This is in Fort Myers, Florida. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, let's grab lunch one day. You know, I'd love to hear what God's doing in your life, and, you know, I'll share about our church. And I said, oh, that'd be great. So I meet with this pastor, and I go through my rhetoric. You would imagine I was excited. I got another pastor in my sights now. And I begin to sit down with him at Mike Subs in Fort Myers, Florida. I begin to tell him about, you know, how I'm ready to take on the end times. The tribe of Dan is the only tribe that's not mentioned in the book of Revelation, because the tribe of Dan is going to be the tribe that is going to lead you through this tribulation. They're the people that are sitting on the thrones judging and ready for these times. You know, I'm telling you, man, I was so messed up. So this guy looks at me and he says, what if I told you I believe all of that happened? And this is Pastor Alan Bondar from Fort Myers, Florida. And I said, if you told me you believe what happened, he said, the resurrection of the dead, the coming of the Lord, all of that, the whole Bible, all of Bible prophecy. And I was like, you know, you come to a point where you're just like, what? How could you believe that? And I told him, I said, no, that has to be wrong. And he said, well, how do you explain what happens when you die? This is my first thing that ever got me thinking. He said, I said, well, okay, the Bible explains that. I said, we die, we go in the grave, and then in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will come, and he will resurrect us. Right? That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. Mm-hmm. And he said, does it? I said, sure. He said, well, would you mind starting at 1 Thessalonians 1, and let's read through the book. And let's just see what the Apostle Paul is saying to this first century church at Thessalonica. And I said, sure. So we read through it. And I'll tell you, man, by the time we got to 1 Thessalonians 5, I knew I was in trouble. I said, there's something wrong here. He said, the Jews didn't believe that you would, you know, he said the Jewish system believed that you died and you went to Hades. And you waited there to the time of the resurrection of the dead. He said, the belief of the Christians was that if you believed in Jesus Christ, you would not have to suffer that holding thing in, you know, in Hades. And, you know, and I was like, wow, he said, you need to see it from the audience perspective. And, you know, I'm a studious guy. You know, if I told you my testimony, you'd understand one thing that led me to Christ was really thinking through concepts, you know, thinking through things. Islam ultimately led me to Christ. So studying Islam and seeing the historical problems, thinking led me to Christ. So here I am a Christian now, and I'm sitting there looking at this end times perspective, and I know something, you know, something's wrong with my view. And to make a sum up kind of a long story there, I went home and did everything that a good Bible student would do. I went to Google and I said, why is full preterism heresy? and, you know, Kenneth Gentry's articles popped up, a couple things from Gary DeMar and, you know, a couple different Bible writers. And I found this Hymenaeus Enfilaitis controversy. I said, oh, geez, this guy's a moron. He clearly doesn't know what Second Timothy 2 talks about. I met with Alan Bondar one last time, and I said, Alan, I said, I think I have you cornered here. You're guilty of the Hymenaeus Enfilaitis heresy. And, man, I'll tell you, he was so patient with me and led me through different things and kind of changed that, my perspective. He said, come on, you know, the first obvious thing is, so you, these two men in the first century were convincing everybody that a biological resurrection that most Christians are expecting happened in the first century. And that was believable. It led many astray. They couldn't just simply look around and say there's no zombies walking around, so clearly the resurrection has not occurred. They, you know, obviously, my understanding of the resurrection was far different than what those people in the first century were expecting. And that was it, man. I tell you what, I humbled myself before God, and the real ugly part of that is I was an intern for the Assemblies of God. So I went to my pastors, and I said, hey, I need some help. You know, I don't know what's going on here, and the help I received was that I should not think about that much. Don't worry about it. Stop meeting with that pastor for sure. And don't start antagonizing and confusing people about Matthew chapter 24. And my nice, again, you know, I've been a kind of humble guy my whole life, and I say that very facetiously. My response to that was to jump on YouTube and to basically challenge my church. And, so you would imagine I got the boot, and I got called the heretic. I got treated like the plague of Fort Myers. I went from being the Bible guy to the guy you need to stay away from because he believes in that weird heresy called preterism. And that's kind of the short and pretty version of what happened, man.
Yeah, it's like I said, when I come across you through YouTube and your debates on preterism, and I'm like, who the heck is this guy? You know, he's straight up keeping it real, you know, and it's just, and just kind of looking at articles and watching you, and it's, and then talking to you, and that we have a background of, like you said, that sensationalism, dispensationalism, and, you know, it's amazing where we can come from. I mean, when you're rooted in that stuff, it's just hard to overnight to go, okay, I believe you. It's a process. It's like coming off of an addiction. You just it may take some time. So you go from sensationalists. You're all about eschatology. You're ready to be an Assemblies of God preacher. Go through the training and all that. And now preterism just smacks you in your face, and it puts you where you have to deal with the time statements. You have to deal with the audience relevancy. And you know what's amazing about that is it's something that majority of Christians or churches, denominations, what have you, they don't really address that. It's like one of those, let's focus on this first. Like last night's debate, for example, the Church of Christ preacher, Dr. David Hester, he spent more time talking about other things than addressing the time statements of Daniel chapter 12. And that's why I feel like, you know, like when you get saved, You go from bondage, you know, life before salvation, and you get saved, and you go into another bondage, and that is whether it be bad eschatology or bad theology. And no one truly wants to address these things, and they want to focus on everything else. And I feel like that majority of the people are just getting screwed in a sense, because when you have a teacher, preacher taking you to different sections of the Bible and giving you books about commentaries on various chapters, how it's presented is as if it's always been that way. The interpretation, and I'm speaking in futurist view, that the interpretation is, this is what it says, this is what it is, and then you get so brainwashed that when you come across somebody who, in your case, you met another guy who kind of puts you in the corner a little bit, it makes you go, "What? How did I miss this?"
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, you know, go through days where you're like, how in the world did I miss this all these years? It was right in
all the time.
you
have
that's
to remember,
how I
feel.
I mean, it's great. Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say one thing there. I preach a sermon every Sunday, so you'd imagine I have to come upon passages sometimes where I sit there and I'm like, how would I have explained that before? And, you know, it baffles me that I know I would have had an explanation. You know, that shows you the arrogancy of the human mind, is that I would have had an explanation for you. You know, I would have been able to kind of, you know, take that Matthew chapter 24 generation text and turn it into a completely different word and find an answer. You know, the dispensationalist with the whole Geneus, you know, phrase there in Matthew 24:34. So I know I would have had a response, which is sad. And, you know, it takes work. You know, can I share something with you, Derek? I just wanted to share something I came across yesterday, kind of one of my frustrations. You know, you talk about, let me see if I can find it here. You talk about people that they come into this, they come to the table with a preformed perspective, right? And a lot of pastors, you know, you look at David Hester, because I was watching a little bit of the chat room last night on the debate, and I seen a lot of it basically was God could not have two covenants at the same time. I seen a lot of that arguing. That, you know, basically the one covenant had to be null and void at the cross, and that's where the new covenant began. And then, you know, how could Jesus Christ be the high priest of two covenants? I saw a lot of confusion rather than, listen, let's take a back step for a minute. And this is really my style of studying, is I take a I look at the text and I say, okay, I know how I want to explain that text, you know, or what Proverbs would say is I know how to lean on my own understanding. So I know what I want the text to say, but then what it's going to take is me going back, understanding it from that audience perspective, and really kind of wrestling with the text to see what it's going to say to me. And yet, for some strange reason, that's what preterism is saying. That's, honestly, when you sum it up, that's what we're saying. Look at the text from the way the original audience would have. And yet, we're the heretics. You know, what baffles me is that I'm trying to find it for you. I'm trying to find this quote I found. I'm reading this book, right? I'm reading this book called Design for Preaching. It was written in 1958. And the author, last night, I come upon a quote. I'll share it on the internet later. I'm not going to waste time looking through the book. But in 1958, this preacher, Henry Grady Davis, he says that what a preacher must do is he must wrestle with the text. He must go back and look at it for what it meant, not just come up with trite phrases for what it could mean for today, or how he says it, taking right living quotes from outdated material. You ever heard somebody say that about the Bible? You know, you're forcing qualities from a way of life upon a modern society that are from outdated 2,000 years old, if not more, people. So what preterism is saying is, no, we're not doing that. What we're saying is, no, I'm looking at the writing to what it meant to those quote-unquote outdated people, and I'm finding out how it can empower my life today, if the gospel is eternal. And it just baffled me because this gentleman said that in 1958. He wasn't a heretic in his day. It's just that now, all of a sudden, when we start to say that in the church, that we need to understand audience relevance, all of a sudden we become, you know, the heretics. And again, you were right before where you said that. Everybody thinks that their view was the view of the apostles. I know I used to believe that.
Right.
And the problem with, obviously the problem with, go ahead, please.
Well, what's interesting is that the evangelical system is the bad side of it is that hype and that bad dispensation eschatology. And something that's been on my heart, and I think that you would be able to see it the same way, is that when you come across something different than the machine, that high-speed train, they don't want to stop. They just want to say, heretic, get off, boom, let's keep going. Well, interestingly, preterists, for example, I know we only got like 5.5 minutes here, but we'll do another show at a time. I wish you had more time.
Hey, but, cool, it was awesome.
Amazingly, you know, preterists are also regarded as anti-Semitic. And this is coming from the machine, by the way. And I'll label it as machine. And I'm amazed. They're the ones calling for 270 ADs, essentially, the dual fulfillment in Matthew 24. And they're the ones that are calling for two-thirds of Jewish deaths, ethnic Jews, during the Great Tribulation, and many others that may take the mark of the beast, which is the RFID chip, right? I'm speaking this in a futurist mind. This is the machine saying this. And then they go on to say, that we'll be raptured before anything bad happens. So the same Israel supporters that hold that flag that says we love Jews, and 1948 is the best thing ever, and let's downplay the 70 AD, they're the first ones to escape, and then say that the Great Tribulation is for the Jews and those left behind. But then again, say that people can get saved, Jew or Gentile, 10 seconds after the rapture. Then at the same time, they say, well, the church is not part of the Great Tribulation because the tribulation is the wrath of God. And since it's the wrath of God, the church is not subjected to the wrath of God. Henceforth, we are raptured in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But then again, you say that people will be saved 10 seconds after the rapture, which makes them the church. And then you hold the flag and say, Jews, 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 but then you leave them behind, and they get slaughtered in your round 2 of 70 A.D. So who is anti-Semitic and anti-Christian? There you go. Boom. What do you think of that? Boom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll tell you. I saw a thing on the news a while back, the Democratic National Convention, and a gentleman, a Jewish guy, a rabbi actually, was on TV, and he said that. He said these Christians are preaching a theology that basically says get all the Jews back, you know, Jesus loves the Jews, Jesus loves the Jews, get all the Jews back to Jerusalem, that way God's wrath could be revealed against them, and the amount of murdered people that you read in Revelation is somehow the grace of God and the gospel. No right. way. So,
know.
You know, again, it's a silly system. It is. It's horrible. That view almost sounds anti-Semitic. And, you know, I hate to kind of throw the ball back in their court, but that's pretty much what it's doing.
I mean, it's like if you want to play that card, if you really want to play that card machine, you know, technically, you're
right.
more anti-Semitic, and that's them. That's the system, because what you just, you know, of course, what I said, and then you just talked about a rabbi who sees it just like you and I see it. I mean, and on top of that, you're saying, praise the Jews. After everything I just said and you just said, then you're saying that the Jews are going to worship some guy that's going to walk in the temple and then worship him like, hey, here's God himself. So you're basically saying
yeah.
that the Jews are going to be duped even more. Okay, not only are they blinded, but they're going to be blinded even more to this guy who shows up and says, hey, how you doing? I'm Jesus Christ, you know? I mean, and then, oh, here's God himself. Oh, praise you. And then you're going to have tons of people worshiping him, taking the mark. And then, so it's two-thirds plus many that's going to be taking the mark, and you're going to have, like, this extinction. And they're going to have, what, a little bit of ethnic Jew, just a little bit. Like, what, two people? That the whole thing is for two people? I don't see it. I don't see it.
Yeah, right. Amen. Yeah, it does. It gets silly. You know, it's the system doesn't work.
It doesn't. That's why I think, Pastor Mike, is that the more that this stuff fails, that's date setting, and that's more people speaking out about the stupidity of modern-day dispensationalism and the rise of, you know, with preterism on the rise, I think it's going to be, you know, next 10, 15 years, people are going to go, you know, I think preterism does make sense because nothing's happened. Everything that people hyped up, nothing's happened. Dates that are set, nothing happened. And preterism says everything's happened. We don't have to do a round 2. We don't have to do a round 3. We don't have to do triple fulfillments or whatever. We're just trying to build a good life for everybody. And we're just wanting the kingdom to the fullest. While they limit themselves. We got about, like 90 seconds. Go ahead and finish the last word and whatever you want to say.
Well, no, I amen. And I think, you know, I'm right there with you. I will do everything I can to push work forward. If I may add a plug, I'll just say, you know, the Power Preterism Network, www.powerpreterism.com. That's kind of what the goal is, to bring clarity, healing, and strategy in how we can move forward, bear fruit for God, and truly see the kingdom of God reign.
Amen. Pastor Mike, I wish we had more time, brother. I wish we did. If I upgrade this thing, and I'll have 2 hours, and we can do that one day. But with Block Talk Radio, it's kind of iffy and scary.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Maybe I'll get you on my show one of these days, and we'll talk. We'll do some talking as well.
Oh, that'd be great. Whenever you want. So let me know. Appreciate
cool.
you coming on the
awesome.
Show.
All right. Thanks, Derek. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Talk to you later. That was Pastor Michael Miana. Boom. Pastor out of New York, and great guy, Blue Point Bible Baptist, not Baptist, sorry, Blue Point Bible Church, sorry. Check them out. It's in the description. Until next time, God bless.